and welcome to Spotlight, the Climate Link Up podcast. I'm Lilia, and today I'm here with Grace Ayong. Grace is from Samoa, and she is the founder and president of Lanualawa Student Association in Samoa. And she's also one of our ambassadors. Hey, Grace.
Hey, Lilia. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Could you start by just telling us a little bit about your background and about yourself?
Sure.
Talofalava to everyone who is listening into our Spotlight podcast. My name is Grace Ayong and I am from Samoa, a Pacific island located in the heart of Polynesia. I am also the founder and president of Lanualawa Student Association, which belongs to one of our local universities. Lanualawa LSA began in 2020, which is just over a year ago, and still is in its beginning stages of a strong and firm foundation in our communities. I am currently studying for my bachelor's degree in environmental science, and this is my final year at our National University of Samoa. Lastly, but definitely not least, I am a climate ambassador for Climate Link Up, and it has been a wonderful experience getting to know the team at Climate Link Up with Joe, Lilia, Zach, as well as all the other amazing members.
Thank you. And could you maybe tell us a bit more about Samoa and where you're from and what kind of a place it is?
I was born and raised in Samoa, a tropical paradise with beautiful beaches and lush greenery. You know, if you are used to the cold and snow and need a little bit of change of scenery with some heat, then Samoa is definitely the place for you. It's hot and humid, and you'll definitely get a suntan here and need lots of lotion, but there's nowhere else I would rather be in the world. We have amazing local communities who have such green thumbs and love to rely on the land for our food and sustenance.
That sounds really amazing. I hope I get the chance to go there someday.
I hope so.
But as far as I understand, you're also facing some current climate challenges. Can you tell us a bit about that?
My dad always used to tell me that if you cut down one tree, you would need to grow another three. And he always said that our environment is our heritage and it is our job to protect it. You know, I never really understood it until I reached university level, because climate change and environmental issues have never really been at the forefront of our academic teachings from primary level to secondary level. It was almost kind of like a hush-hush kind of thing. And it was only in university when I learned about how dire the situation really is, and that our Pacific Islands are actually at the forefront of these effects of climate change, and we suffer the worst. And when the IPCC report that came out last year said that our global carbon emission contribution is less than 1%, you know, I was wondering, what about the other 99%? What are those countries doing about this issue? Do they really care? You know, my country, our communities have seen and experienced sea level rise. They've seen seawalls built in their backyard simply 20 years ago, where there would have been land. It's simply ocean now. And they've got evidence of this. They've got photographs passed down from their grandparents and their grandparents. You know, we've also seen really weird weather patterns. We're actually in rainy season at the moment, but it's really quite sweltering hot. We sometimes go up to 32 degrees Celsius on a really, really hot day. But coupled that with the humidity, you know, it's just out of the usual, of the normal weather patterns. There's also been loss of coral reefs due to coral bleaching. A lot of this also has to do with, you know, our own behaviors. My people are very used to traditional spear fishing, which means they would walk out into the coral reefs and they'll trample all over it. So they've still got that mindset of the tradition is not harming the environment, because they're not really seeing the effects. But there was actually a recent study done by MNRE, and it said that our coral reefs have actually depleted by more than 80%, which, you know, it's quite scary because our people rely on fish. We heavily, heavily on fish for food and sustenance, as well as to sell. So, you know, it's just these issues that people have experienced, and it's become part of their story to tell, but they've never really known the science behind it. They've never really known that there's a term of climate change. And so now we're very focused on getting the word out, on awareness raising as well, but also about teaching different behaviors and a different mindset from what our people are usually used to.
And how does this affect your agriculture and your livelihoods that are dependent upon agriculture?
Agriculture is such a deep and integral part of our communities because they all rely on it for income, for sustenance, for food. You know, even our crops, we've seen them grow smaller and smaller in size. We used to have mangoes the size of your hand, and that would only be like the smallest fruits. And now you can barely find anything that can even probably amount to about half of your hand. And, you know, my parents told me this story about how their grandparents used to farm the biggest taro here in Samoa, and now our taro crops have completely dried out. And, you know, it's just sad that climate change has such a heavy and strong effect on our islands, but we are strong and we are resilient, as have proven from all these past years. And, you know, as the Pacific Climate Warriors say, we are not drowning, we are fighting. And that is our message to the world, definitely.
Mm. And how do people cope with the fact that the harvest is much smaller than it used to be? Does it mean you're more dependent on importing food?
Yeah, so, you know, the difficulties with having less and less crop and produce from our agricultural reserves is that now we look to imports, you know, things like chicken that are very fatty, as well as turkey tails. This has actually led to a very dramatic increase in obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, all these non-communicable diseases. We've actually seen a trend of it just rising simply because our people they're turning away from agriculture and turning to imported foods because they see that their produce is not producing as much, crops are not producing as much. And so what is easiest and most accessible? You have ramen noodles. You can buy a box. You have corned beef. You have chicken. You have turkey tails. You have rice. Instead of our staple agricultural foods that we rely so much on, like our banana and taro, our breadfruit, you know, all these things that we grow in our own backyard, instead of relying on it now, we're now definitely showing more of a trend towards the imported foods. Yeah.
And when did you decide to get involved in trying to mitigate these things and trying to make a difference? Was there a moment when you realized that you had to do something?
Yeah, so I guess there was really a defining moment when I realized, you know, I have a story to tell and I have an experience that I want to share, but I want to share it with the younger generations so that when they have this change of a mindset and they're brought up, you know, they keep having this thought in their heads, you know, they're already environmentally conscious, you know. I wanted them to have a strong foundation in environmental issues and climate change, something that I never had growing up from primary and college level. And so our first project, which was Lo'uluma Na'ilan Lo'aba, or the future of the green of the Pacific, specifically targeted college students, specifically Yanine students who ranged between the ages of 13 and 15. We had about 60 students overall, from 12 different schools here in Samoa. Six from Upolu, our main island, and Savai, our other main island. So we mainly focused on awareness raising, but we also wanted there to be an aspect of them actually trialing and putting into practical methods what they've learned. And so we did that by hosting carbon audits within their own schools. Yeah, I guess, you know, that was our first major project. And it was just really inspiring to see how keen the students of Samoa are really trying to learn, you know, and how much there is left for them to learn. Like, there is such a need in our educational system to really implement and bring in these subjects of climate change. What is global warming? How is ocean acidification caused? You know, and really delve into the role of the Pacific in the world and how it's been resisting and fighting against climate change and these issues, you know. And it just really showed that there was a real deep need for climate change awareness in our college students. And we were just very privileged, honestly. It was a great experience. Yeah. You know, my story actually starts off with, I never really knew about climate change until I reached university level. And I was already 18 at the time. You know, that's 18 years of my life without any knowledge about literally what I've been experiencing all these years, but never just having really a name for it. And so when I reached foundation level at university, I had this lecturer. Her name was Roberta Muro. She's Italian. She was very strict, very by the book. But I loved her passion for the environment. And just seeing that inspired me. Hey, why don't you go research this? Why don't you dive in a little deeper into this topic? And so through her, I was actually given a part in a project called Samoa Green Livelihoods, which focuses on green behaviors and mindsets for rural communities and ensuring that there is still a way for them to earn income. So I was a trainer as part of that, as well as a social media assistant. And so we got to travel back to different villages and really show them that just because you're protecting the environment doesn't mean that you can't earn money off of it. There is a sustainable way of protecting the environment that ensures that it stays part of your heritage and it stays intact for future generations to come and experience, but also for you to, you know, earn some income. For example, ecotourism here, one of our villages in our rural area, Falisela Lefanga, they actually run an ECAT. So that's an ecotourism attraction where they have hiking up their waterfall. So their waterfall, it actually has 13. So there's 13 different jumps. that you can go through this hike. But they also, throughout the whole way, they also show you, oh, here are our native species of plants. That's our native bird. Can you hear it? Can you pinpoint? Do you know what that is? That Amanusina, Amanumea, you know? And it's just a really good model for each village that you don't have to destroy your environment for you to get to earn some money. There is a sustainable way, and all it is just changing your mindset and your behavior from just money, 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 and earning, 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 and taking into account the environment and the resources that we have.
And could you perhaps tell us a bit about what your hopes are for the future? What is the best possible scenario the way you see it?
You know, the best possible outcome for us is that we just want our stories and our experiences to be heard. We're tired of being on the sidelines, only being brought up for a show, you know, just to put as a little decoration. You know, we have real substance, and I have a story and I have an experience that I want to share. And I guess the best possible outcome would be for all of the countries such as China and Russia, as well as the United States of America, to completely phase out on the use of fossil fuels and instead completely switch to renewable energy. That would be amazing for that to happen, you know. And while we do understand your position, we also, you know, we've heard about these promises at every single convention and meeting that goes on. We've heard them say that they're going to do this by 2040 or 2030. So all that we are asking is that you keep your word and that you stay true to your word and what you have said you will do. And also to remember that there are little guys who are trying to protect the environment as much as you are. Samoa has done a complete ban on plastic bags and cutlery, and you know, it's slowly starting to phase out. We're trying to look into more renewable uses of plastic bottles. You know, it's quite difficult to phase out plastic bottles because we manufacture them here, but you know, those are just the little things that we are doing. We have also implemented the 100% renewable energy plan. So by 2030, Samoa is aiming to become 100% run on renewable energy. And I know that it's much easier said than done, but we are about 60% on the way there, which I think is a thumbs up, you know, to my government as well, for implementing such good policies and making sure that, you know, we follow through with our word. So all that we are hoping for is that the seesaw stays balanced and that the developed nations and the developing nations work hand in hand together to fight against climate change, because it is everybody's problem. It's not just our problem, us who are facing it the worst, you know, it's everybody's problem, because in the future, our generations might not even get to experience what we have now. And so for the sake of our future grandkids and great-great-grandkids, you know, let's all work together to fight against climate change and to rally against its effects and to really work towards a greener mindset and greener behaviors overall.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Grace. It's really important to hear about all of the stuff that's going on over there. And yeah, it was really great having you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lilia, and thank you so much to all of our listeners. I hope, if anything, that whoever is listening out there, that you guys will take a very keen ear and will realize that, you know, climate change is such a real thing, mm-hmm. that it's happening now. And, you know, if we don't do something about it now, then our future generations are at risk. And as a small Pacific island who is at the forefront of it, I don't want my generations to grow up in a land that I wasn't born in. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get to experience the things that I got to experience. So it would be amazing if everybody could just do their little part, even if it's just at home. You don't have to join a big organization or start a student association or join World Peace, but it all just starts from your home and changing your own behavior and your own mindset at home.
Oh yeah, definitely. And if people want to learn more about the situation in Samoa and in the Pacific in general, are there any resources you can recommend?
Definitely. I guess you would probably have to look up Samoa. Probably Google. Probably definitely check out 350 Pacific. You know, they've got some amazing things on their website, and they're doing amazing things for their cause. Also check out Samoa Conservation Society here for us here locally. There's also the Ministry of Natural Resources and Environment. But if you get lost, you could just give me a quick email and I'll probably try and find what I can find here for you.
Wonderful. Thank you.